If we turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, we did read from John 15 this morning where Jesus said, "Abide in me and you will bear much fruit." And our focus is going to be upon the fruit that the Lord wants to develop in our lives. You will see that there's an insert in your bulletin with some defining of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. We've been in this passage for several weeks now. 5:16 of Galatians, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 17 tells about the struggle between the flesh and the Spirit that we as believers can face. Then it talks about the works of the flesh in verse 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. We don't want to see these things in our lives. That's for sure. But verse 22 and 23, verses, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Very interesting. It is a list of the things that the Lord would like to see in our lives in Galatians chapter 5. I want to talk a little bit about lists. Lists are good, okay? If someone in the congregation was going to bake a cake, okay, and you had to get the things together to put in the cake mix, you would make a list, and you would go to the store and get things like eggs, flour, milk, baking soda, and things like this, and you would need all of those things to have a good cake. And if you left something off your list, you might not have such a good cake. So lists are important, okay? It's interesting that there are a number of lists in the Bible. And I think lists are very important. And it's easy to say, well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and those other things. But I think it's good for us to look and to see, what are these things that God would like to see in our lives? Lists are a very interesting way of putting powerful thoughts together for us. And we can read lists one at a time, or we can look at it and say, well, this is what I need in order to do something, like bake a cake if you have a list of things for the cake. But think of some of the lists in the Bible. For instance, there's the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about this morning. There are the Ten Commandments. Are they important? They're very important. The Lord said to the people of Israel, "This is how I want you to live before me. And if you keep these commandments, you will be blessed as you live in the land." There's tremendous blessing that comes. And we realize that some of the Ten Commandments have a negative in them, yet some of them are very positive. So there's a list. And God says, if you will keep these, you will be blessed. In fact, the terminology that God Himself used is, it will be well with you if you follow these. There's the list of the things to meditate on in Philippians chapter 4. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things of good report. And the Bible has a lot to say about our thinking. In fact, if we get thinking in the wrong direction, the Lord says we really need to adjust our thinking. God doesn't want us to be concentrating on negative thoughts. So when negative thoughts are in your mind and you're looking at things and things look gloomy, the Lord says, "Now wait a minute. Think about things, Philippians chapter 4, that are true and that are honest and are of good report and that are virtuous. Think on these things." There's another list in Colossians 3 that talks about things that we're to put on in our spiritual lives. There's another list in 1 Corinthians 13. If you really want to know what love is all about and what it is like, 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And God tells us what love is really like. Love is patient. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Awesome things in lists. Now, as we approach the Galatians chapter 5 passage, I think it's good to keep in mind the fact that mankind and humanity faces two spiritual dilemmas. The first spiritual dilemma is the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's our past sins that, looking back, we could say, well, sin separates man from God. Sin produces a guilty conscience. Sin in some people's lives caused them to, rather than to approach God, sin in the life undealt with causes people to actually back away from God. We invite people to come to God, but they want to back away because their sin hasn't been dealt with. And by the way, we all know people like this, and so we should keep praying for them. Don't ever give up on praying for somebody you know is not in relationship with the Lord yet. Because the Word of God is very clear. Dealing with sin, the solution, Christ died for our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And when a person really comes to Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness and cleansing. There's the gift of eternal life through Jesus. But the second dilemma that mankind faces is the fact that once we trust Jesus as Savior, we ask the question, how can we be changed? How can we keep from committing those sins that we did before we came to faith in Jesus Christ? And we know that verse real well. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And old things passed away, and all things become new. And a lot of new things come into our lives as believers when we trust Christ as Savior. Before you were saved, you didn't really want to pray. After you trusted Christ, you began praying not only for yourself, but for others. Before you trusted Christ as Savior, you didn't really want to read the Bible that much. But after you trusted Jesus, you start looking up things in Scripture. And you start saying, well, what does God say about love, 1 Corinthians 13? What does God say about faith? And you begin to enjoy the Word of God. So the second dilemma is, how can we be victorious over sins that we committed before salvation? And of course, the answer is clearly given in this passage in Galatians chapter 5. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within you. The struggle is mentioned in 17. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So you as a Christian, sometimes you face a real struggle, which someone who doesn't know Christ, they're not going to struggle with at all. But sometimes you and I struggle with things because we know Christ as Savior. The point, of course, is that there's victory over the flesh. There's victory over the patterns of the old nature, things that we did before we came to Christ. There's victory over these things through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You see, the works of the flesh are all these things that are listed here in these verses above 22. The works of the flesh: fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, strife, clashes. But God doesn't want to see those things in our lives. So He has given to us, after we trust Christ as Savior, He has given to us the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be able to witness unto me wherever you go in the whole earth. Yes, the power is in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you this little, I'm going to call it a formula, but it's actually some passages of Scripture. And here's the key to allowing the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit of the Spirit in our lives, okay? There is a verse in Ephesians 5:18 that says this: do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, the Bible is very clear. Drunkenness is something God doesn't want to see in anybody, whether they're a Christian or a non-Christian. When someone's in a drunken condition, they can do some things that are very harmful to themselves or harmful to others. They lose control. Okay? And that's why it's in this verse. It says, don't be drunk with wine. Okay? Drunkenness is a bad situation. Repeat, a person who is drunk can do some things that not only are harmful to themselves, but may be harmful to others. But the contrast is, be controlled by the Spirit of God. So here's the point. Just as someone who's in a drunken condition can think they can do something that they would never think of doing without being drunk, so a Christian can do some things he or she never thought he or she could do when God's Holy Spirit is in control of the life. The Lord can allow you as a Christian, you can do things that you never thought you could do. You could tell someone else about Jesus and how God has worked in your life, how Christ came, as was mentioned, to save us from our sins and made a place for us in heaven. You can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why it says in Ephesians 5:18, Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit. And when we're controlled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will produce in us that which we see here called the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and we're going to talk about them. Now let me mention this also. When it comes to being filled with the Spirit, there are two negatives and one positive. I'm just going to mention this. The one negative is 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. So you say, well, what does that mean? Well, if you had a bucket of water and you had a fire, a campfire, you took that bucket of water and you poured it on the campfire, the fire probably would go out. Okay. So likewise, it's the same word used in relationship to the Spirit of God. So here's my point. The point is this. When God asks you to do something, and you got to do that in relationship to your life. But if the Lord prompts you to do something, maybe it's to help someone, and you say, no, I don't want to do that. Okay? You're quenching the Spirit. If God says, I want you to worship me today. I want you to go to church. I want you to worship me and be with God's people. And you say, I don't want to do that. You know what you're doing? You're quenching the Spirit. You're saying no to the Spirit of God. So there's a little caution in the Word of God. I've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that we don't say no to things that we know God wants us to do. Second one is grieve not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. To grieve the Spirit, well, what's the Spirit grieved by? If I sin and don't confess it. We know this. We've heard it 1,000 times. There is no Christian who's perfect. There is no Christian who does not sin. We know what we're supposed to do when we sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. When we sin as Christians, we don't lose our salvation. We don't lose out on heaven. But we can lose out on fellowship with God. And we can get farther and farther away from God if we keep sinning and not confessing Him. If we say to the Lord, well, you know, if we say to ourselves, actually, I don't care about the things I've done. But the Holy Spirit touches us and says, wait a minute, you need to confess that sin. Get that sin out of your life. When you do that, you get back close into fellowship with the Lord. So we are to not grieve the Holy Spirit. And of course, what we've been studying for many weeks now is the fact that we are to walk in the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit, and when we are, He works within us. Now again, you'll notice that passage has a tremendous contrast there. It has the works of the flesh, and you look at this list, the works of the flesh, and they're in verses 19 and 20 and 21, and we say, no, I don't want those things in my life. The flesh is, even in a Christian, a flesh would be, you're operating and functioning without the help of God, without the work of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I'm going to do this no matter what, in my own strength. Whereas, as believers, we're to say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go work on my job. I'm going to try to be the parent God wants me to be. I'm going to try to help others in your power and in your strength. That's the difference, you see. So we have to be careful we don't do things in the flesh, but we do things in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. So what we're doing now this morning, we're here, we're worshiping God, we're sowing to the Spirit. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to take a passage of Scripture, put it in our minds and thinking to help us when we go out into the activity of the day and the activity of the week. We're saying, Lord, I'm here to worship you. We sing hymns of praise to God. You're sowing to the Spirit. But you see, if you don't sow to the Spirit, and by the way, not only on Sundays, but during the week, you really need to have your Bible open. You really need to be talking to the Lord in prayer. And not only read the Bible, but ask the Lord to speak to you from His Word. And He'll do it, by the way. If you really have an area of concern, and you look up in the Word of God, your area of concern, and you stay with it, the Holy Spirit who lives within you as a Christian is going to take that passage of Scripture. He's going to encourage you. I would say, probably one of the greatest things that lead to discouragement in a Christian's life is failure to allow the Word of God to help you. If you just don't open the Bible during the week, and you only hear things from the media and the radio and read things in the paper, it's not going to feed your soul spiritually. But if you'll just, and again, I've said this 1,000 times as well, could be 999, but I've said this many times, if you'll just look at one verse of Scripture, just one verse, and allow the Lord to minister to your heart, it's amazing how God will build you up spiritually. Now, on this fruit of the Spirit, there are 9 qualities that are given. And it's called the fruit of the Spirit. You've heard this before, that it's singular and not plural, because this fruit of the Spirit's looked at like a cluster of grapes. And there's all these grapes. So there's a cluster. Well, there's love, joy, and peace. So actually, there's 3 clusters here. There's love, joy, and peace. And that's the first cluster. And these are Godward things. These are things that bless your life and relationship to God. There's patience, kindness, and goodness. Oh boy, they're beauties. And these are referring to manward relationships. And then there's faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these qualities are seen within us, in our inward man. And you see, we want God to develop this fruit in our lives. The passage of Scripture which we read for our responsive reading this morning said, Jesus said, "He who abides in me and I in him will bear forth much fruit." So what I want you to do with that list, remember we talked about at the beginning that lists are not bad, they're good. That's a good list. And I ought to look at that list and I ought to say, what does Ken Rogers need in his life? What area, which one of these should I be focusing on and asking God's Holy Spirit to work out and to develop in my life? Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear forth much fruit. So again, we're going to talk about how can we have the fruit in our lives? We got to stay in fellowship with our Lord. We have to abide in Him. We have to maintain our fellowship with the Lord. And to maintain fellowship with the Lord, we have to be mature as Christians and be willing to confess sins when we see them in our hearts and in our lives. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." So we have to stay in fellowship with the Lord. Let's look at them just briefly together. Let's look at our list. The first one, of course, is love. And we gave a definition to love. You could probably find some other definition, but I like this one. Love is seeking the highest good in others. If you love someone, you're going to do something to seek the very best that you can do for them. Love is the first characteristic in the list. It's the supreme virtue of the Christian life, because in 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." I thought it was interesting, same chapter, chapter 5, verse 14, where the Apostle says, "The whole law is fulfilled in one statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Wow. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, I have real difficulty in loving someone else. I really do. I have real difficulty. This person is very negative towards me. This person does things which I know God doesn't approve of. And I have a very difficult time. And we got to be honest with ourselves. We can work with someone who can be very negative, who's not upholding their end of the deal in work. But you see, the Lord says that we can't do this on our own. See, that would be doing something in the flesh. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can say, "Lord, I want your Spirit to give me that ability to love this one who is so negative, so unloving. Lord, I'm going to need your supernatural power to love this other person." We need to be very, very careful. God tells us that we are to be loving. Now, I want to mention something real quick, and then we got to get to the communion table here pretty soon. The love that's talked about here is called agape love. It's the love that has its source in God. There's friendship love. There's romantic love. But this is the love that has its source in God. It's a sacrificial love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates His love towards us
Please keep in mind, this is important. There are a lot of people out in our world today, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, and they don't believe God loves them. In fact, they believe God's after them. They believe God doesn't like them. And that's not true. For God so loved the world of people that He gave His only begotten Son. And I like to tell people when I'm sitting talking, even non-Christians, say, you know, God loves you just as much as He loves me. Jesus died on the cross for you just as much as He died for me. This is what the Bible clearly teaches. God wants us to have that kind of life and in our lives and experience. Let me mention this to you. This, you're going to say, this is a little weird to bring this in, but I'm going to bring it in anyway. A man by the name of Eric Metaxas, he's the man that wrote that book, Bonhoeffer. How many of you have read it? Hands up. Look at this. It's about less than 1%. It is a great book about a man in Germany, who a theologian who did some awesome things for God. Okay, now here's my point. He was speaking to a group of students at the Dallas Baptist University very recently. And he spoke on the subject of, you're going to say, why in the world has he mentioned this? I mean, we got to keep praying for the pastor, you know. He spoke on the subject of, why is Star Wars so uniquely popular? And you know there's one coming out in December, and there's been more money paid for tickets ahead of time for that than any other movie. You name the movie, it's gotten more. It's $6 million worth of tickets have been sold already. It's not even out. And the highest before that was only $1 million. So you say, well, why are you mentioning that? I don't know, but let me try it. His point is this. His point is this. This is good. He's speaking to college students, and he says, you know, we want to talk to people who don't know the Lord as their Savior. And we want to give to them the greatest news in the world, that God loves them and sent Jesus for them. Okay? Stay with me now. And so Eric Metaxas makes this plea for believers to talk to non-believers with grace, with courage, and to do the best we can. In other words, to in many situations, you can plan ahead to say what you want to say to help someone to come to know Jesus. God wants us to do our best. That's His point. The reason this movie series is so big is it's supposed to have people who have put so much into it that it's the best movie you could see. I don't know if it is or not. I've never seen one of them. Pray for me. I haven't seen any of them yet. Don't miss his point now. When we're talking to people about Jesus, we want to do our best, don't we? So we need to think through, this is his point, talking to college students. We want to think through, how can I clearly tell someone else that God loves them and Jesus died for them? So he's talking about the subject of excellence, and he gave them the illustration from this Star Wars movie. Now, here's the next point, however. He says, you want to do your best when you're communicating Jesus to others, but also keep this in mind. People in our postmodern culture value love above logic. Non-Christians are made in the image of God, and they will be drawn to God when they see in us our love and our concern for them. Now, don't miss this. You say, why is he mentioning this? Because the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. Okay? So his point is, while you want to do your best in communicating Jesus to others, you want to do your absolute best, you want to be sure that you show the love of God in Jesus Christ as you communicate, because he says, love overrides logic in the generation we're trying to reach for Jesus Christ, okay? Among the millennials. They're going to know, am I really concerned that they know Jesus? And what am I saying? I'm saying, when I talk to people about the Lord, I want to do my best, I want to plan ahead, but also I need to show the love of God in Jesus Christ. When we work with people around us, when we know that there are those with needs, we've got to have the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to show love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and each of these things. The fruit of the Spirit.
We'll continue in a later date the fruit of the Spirit and finish them up. But it is awesome to look at this list, which you can keep in your Bible, and look down through it and say to yourself, is there one of these areas that I need God to work in my life on? Let's pray together.